I'm proud of you. Yeah, give them a big God bless you. Come on. We're proud of you. Very, very proud of you. I got hit in the side of the face because your dad's buttons were popping off his shirt over there, flying all the way up here to hit me. Just a couple other things. If you do not have a Bible, we have a table in the back. We'll leave it up this week. You're welcome to take a Bible. Also, Susie Varikin, she commanded and got all the Christmas decorations up, and then she headed up getting them all down and put away. Susie, we love you. Can we put our hands together for Susie? If you have a prayer request today, you want to put it on that prayer board, write it on one of those stickies and put that up there. We're gonna have the sanctuary open this week. And if you want to come in and pray, we want you to be able to do that as well. I was made aware earlier this morning, and I just saw on newsfeed that it's over, but there was an incident on Washington Avenue in Batavia where there was a whole bunch of police cars with guns drawn aiming at a house. I'm glad it wasn't any of your houses that was happening. But I heard, made aware of somebody has been arrested. But I want to pray for our city right now. I want to pray for our law enforcement, first responders, and all those who risk their lives for you and I every single day that we take breath in. And pray for that situation this morning. Lord, we don't know all the details about it, but God, we know that you're able to intervene in it. And God, I just thank you for those who you've put into authority to protect us and to risk their lives for us. We pray your protection over them. I pray extra blessing on their lives. Lord, we even pray for Todd this morning. Lord, protect him, the ones that he loves, Lord. And for our city, Lord, your hand upon it, God. I pray that you will keep us free of evil and harm in this community, in this entire region, Lord. May your hand be upon it, on our government officials, those who are in authority in every area. Lord, I thank you for it. I pray for every church in this region this morning that they will be safe and that the word of the living God will be represented from every pulpit in this region today, I pray. And I give you thanks for each and every one that is here today. I pray your hand upon them greatly. Lord, open up our hearts to receive everything that you have intended for us today, I pray, in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen. I want to talk to you today about new. Last week, I talked to you about entering into a new season. I talked about, first of all, if you're going to go into a new season, you got to forget what is behind you. That doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to forget what happened, but you're going to be disconnected. You're not going to let old influence you or affect you any longer. Also talked about a new season. It means that we have to focus on the one thing that God wants us to deal with in our lives. One thing. Instead of being all over the place, what is the one thing? Instead of having, well, I got 20 resolutions that I'm going to do, and we never do any of them. And the Lord just encourages us to do one thing. Paul said, this one thing I do in Philippians chapter 3. Jesus told the rich young ruler, he says, one thing you lack. Jesus told Martha, he said, one thing is needed. What is the one thing in your life? And then lastly, did you have to commit to that? What do you have to commit to? What do you and I keep on putting off that the Lord is saying, you need to face that. You need to deal with it. You need to come to terms with it. You got to start doing it. And there's no better time than right now. Whether it's the first of the year, the middle of the year, right now, today is the day of salvation. The procrastinator says there'll always be enough time to do tomorrow what needs to be done today. But the person that takes action says, I'm not going to wait for tomorrow. I'm going to do what I got to do right now, right today. I'm going to make the change. And I'm going to commit to it. And when I was praying, concerning the beginning of the year, and I don't want to be necessarily one of them that, you know, just declare this big revelation that, well, you know, I just met with God, and you know, he led me up into the mountain and I saw the burning bush, and this is the name that I said, I don't want to do that. But what I felt the Lord drop in my heart was simply the word new, which means something that has never existed before, or it's something that's been discovered recently, or it's for the first time. There's so many things that come to my mind right now that I have to be cautious of what I say. But I know for some of us, embracing new, it comes with a great challenge in our lives. It may mean that I have to let go of something old in order to take something new in my life. If I was to tell you today that I was going to take you and take all of you and I was going to buy you a brand new car, or I was going to take you out shopping, I was going to buy you a new outfit, many of you would want to be the first in line, but maybe when I took you to get the car and it wasn't what you hoped, or maybe when I took you to buy you the clothes and it wasn't necessarily your style, it would be difficult for you to accept it. But the fact is, the change is needed in every one of us in order to receive what God has new for us. It's not simply about being a better person either. Let me just tell you this right now. Change doesn't come in our lives, and new doesn't come just by the decisions that we make on January 1st. It comes from a recreation. It comes from a new life in Jesus. And the change that people need the most in their life, hear this now, some of you won't like this, is not changing our circumstances, but it's allowing God to change ourselves. It's not the ability even to try harder, but it's the ability to entrust our life to a Savior that died for us and gave His life for us. It is not the same thing of us trying harder, if we do more, if we become better, because Christ has already done what needs to happen in our lives. Let me just give you these three little principles, and then we're going to share communion together today. Number one, real change starts with a new life, not just a resolution. The Apostle Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 5:17, he says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a brand new creature. Old things are gone, and behold, something new is starting to come. God is always encouraging you and I that in order for something new to come into our lives, we have to let go of something old. New always involves the passing away of old in order for something new to come and take its place. I said earlier in the first service, when my wife and I got married, her mom and dad gave us her bedroom set. I didn't have anything, and so we had that. In fact, we still have the dressers in our room today. It's pretty awesome, I think. But what I kept and what she asked me for years was to get a new bed. That bed, I don't know, was 10, 12 years old when we got married, and we had it. We probably slept in that bed for 30 years. I mean, praise the Lord. And she said, honey, I want a new bed. And I said to her, that's a great time for the phone to ring right there. And I said to her, honey, we don't need a new bed. This fits me. That thing, it had a hole in it where you'd lay in it, and you just roll right to the hole. Does anybody else have a bed like that right now? Look at the hands going up in here. It was kind of my way to get her to snuggle with me, too. When we get in the bed, everybody just, boom. I got stopped there now, but she says to me, honey, I want a new bed. I said, honey, what if the new bed we get isn't as good as the old one? Then what are we going to do? I know what we do. We give the old bed to Garrett in case the new one doesn't work. We could just take that away from him. And that's exactly what we did. We finally get the new bed, and I'm very cautious. I don't know about this, but, you know, here we go. You know, I felt like I was on my wedding night. I didn't know what was going to happen, you know. And I get into the bed, and man, it's sleep. Man, it's great. Go to sleep. The next day, it's even better than the first day. And I'm thinking, I'm so glad that we got this new bed. And then my wife looks at me, honey, We need to throw the old one out. Garrett's coming. Dad, the springs are popping right up in my back. I said, oh, just cut them off like we have for years. No joke. No joke. But the reality of it is that I became so accustomed to what I was used to that I did not want to trade it in for anything that was better waiting for me. And you can't be good enough yourself to be who God has called and created you to be. Listen to this. Religion says, I obey, and therefore I'm accepted. But Christianity says, I'm accepted, and then I obey. Our acceptance and our change has affected our lives by the work of Christ on the cross, His death, His burial, and His resurrection that brings the change into our lives that we need. And we need to stop trying to change our own lives and waste our time on trying to do the self-initiated work in our lives. Like we have the power to change this vessel that God says, I have sent my Son into the world to give you a new life. In John chapter 3, Jesus approached someone, the Bible says, that desired change. His name was Nicodemus. He had the right pedigree, he had the right training, he had the right position in society. He was probably moral and definitely religious, but when he went to Jesus, Jesus tells him one thing in John chapter 3 and verse 3, you need to be born again. Born again. And you see, because rules can modify behavior, but only the gospel can impact and change our lives. Listen to that now. Secondly, real change, it's a process. It's not a destination. You will never get to the place where God has called you to be perfectly on this side of eternity, because our life continually is one that's growing. Philippians 1:6 says, I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus. Because sometimes our changing in that process can be very difficult. Sometimes it can even be ugly. Sometimes it's not what we wanted or what we even expected. We didn't think it was going to come that way. But when we lean into it, God makes something new out of the process that's taking place in our lives. Listen to this verse of Scripture in 2 Corinthians 1. This is so powerful. In verse 2, it says, grace and peace to you from our Lord, from our God and Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. Listen to this, verse 4, who comforts us in our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. What is he saying here? He's saying that our change and this metamorphosis that takes place in our lives that brings us into this position of receiving something that we've never had before isn't necessarily always going to be one of pleasantry. In fact, for some of us, we're going to go through a uncomfortable moment to get to the place that God has called and created us to be. But the beautiful thing about it is when you get through that, he now equips you to be able to help somebody else get through that. Are you listening to me today? Well, my wife and I were talking about an issue. We went through this 25, 28, 30 years ago. There were some people in our lives that did not have our best interest, tried to bring harm, bring division between my wife and I, try to separate us. And it was the grace of God that we moved past and moved through all of that. But you know what the beautiful thing? And she says, well, that's all over. You know what now? We can help others. We've learned from what we went through. I don't sit back and say, oh, I hate those people and look at what they did and stay angry. I use that as God says that because he comforts us in our trouble so that we can comfort other people in their trouble. So you don't stay married 40 years and not go through trouble. Hello. Adjust your halo. You don't go through that and not have pain. You don't raise three children and not have some issues along the way. I don't care how good they all looked up here today. Every one of them at one point in their life, I wanted to strangle them and hang them up at the highest tree in our farm. But I want you to tell you today that we don't stand up here bragging about how great we are. We are those who have gone through trouble and God has led us to the other side. So now you can look and you can receive comfort because the same God that helped us, He's there to help you as well. Come on, you ought to clap on that today. He can make brand new in your life, but it's not always easy. It doesn't always come on flowery beds of ease. It comes sometimes with some pain. And he goes on and he says in verse 5, "For just as we shared abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ." Here it is again. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patience, endurance of the same sufferings that we suffer. It's not always going to be fun and easy. It's not always going to be just, oh, this is just nothing. You and I will go through, when God is working new in us and He's changing us, some things will be ugly, they'll be uncomfortable, you'll cry, "I don't like this, it's not fair, I don't like the way it's making me feel," but you press on. As I read last week out of Philippians chapter 3, "I press on," Paul says, "that I may obtain the prize, the upward call in Christ Jesus." And then change is letting go and grabbing a hold. Listen to this. God doesn't force you to change, but He calls every one of us to change. We are called to put off the old man and take hold of the new man. But we all know that letting go of the familiar is difficult, even when the new is better. For some, it's our psyche. It just resists change, even when it's going to help. My goodness, I should write a book on that. I would lead all the help and try to move these myriads of people. Thank God many people listen and do it. But I'm going to tell you, I've taken many people in my own strength and in my own power and tried to help them and lead them in a direction so new could come into their lives, only for them not to, because of a myriad of things. One of them is just because people are plain stubborn. I know nobody here is like that. But have you ever tried to take a toy out of a 2-year-old's hand? No! They get this ninja strength all of a sudden. We're the same way. We get this laser focus and we're not going to let go. We're not going to unclench because we won't let go. You know, I read this week and I've never heard this before. Do you know how to trap a monkey? Listen to this. All you need is a coconut. You drill a hole, you hollow it out as best you can, and you put a small rock inside of the hole in the coconut, and the monkey, listen, I YouTube this to verify it. I'm kidding you. The monkey will come along, and because of that they want to get what's in there, they will reach their hand through the hole, then they will make a fist to grab the object inside, and they won't be able to pull their fist. Now, you want to know why? Because they won't let go. They keep their fists clenched around that rock, and it will not come back out of the hole, and they are trapped in that because they refuse to let go. I want to ask you today, what are you holding on to so tight that is keeping you trapped? It could be pride. The more I think about pride, a lot of the issues that we deal with stem from that and keep us from the new that God wants to bring to our lives. Maybe it's a self-desire. Maybe it's a toxic relationship. Now, don't look at your husband or your wife and say, "That's you, baby." That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about people that are, they're hooked up. And they're not living under the blessing of God And they'll say to me, I know it's wrong and I know it's hurting me, but can't let go. And until you let go and pull your hand out, you stay stuck in that. Maybe for some it's unforgiveness, but you don't know what somebody did to me. And you got to move past that. And some don't want to move past because they're just comfortable in that. It's all they know. It's like me with the bed. It's all I know. That's all I understood. It's like me with, you've heard me talk about the bib overhauls. My wife gets me a new pair. I got the raggedy old pair hanging up, and I always go put the old one on. And she says to me, honey, why do you wear that when you got the brand new one over there? And I look at her with an answer that is so prolific. I say, honey, I don't know. I like them. They're comfortable. I want to stay there. And then some, we don't move because we're afraid. We have fear of the unknown. And God's saying, I want you to embrace something brand new that I have made available for you. Then we have to embrace the thought that change sometimes can really hurt because it takes us out of our comfort zone and it causes this ripple effect in our lives. That leads us into this direction that we're afraid, and sometimes it does hurt. You let go of that toxic relationship, it does hurt. But it only gets better, and it leads you to the new that God has for you. Amen. And so the question remaining for most people is, what hurts worse? Staying where you are, or moving to where God wants you to be? Think about that for 1 minute. The alternative to embracing change is to just pick a rut and make it deeper yet. You know what a rut is, don't you? It's a grave with the ends kicked out. The change that we need is offered through Christ. 2 Corinthians 3:18, our faces then are not covered. We all show the Lord's glory, and we are being changed to be just like Him. Close your eyes with me and bow your head this morning. I want those who are going to help share in communion, if you would you come now? So the Lord has something so beautiful for you and I today. So powerful that He wants to give to you and I today. That you just have to be willing. God say, let the Lord just say, Lord, change me so that I can receive what you have for me. When you receive the cup and the bread, hold it. We'll partake together. If you've never given your life to Christ, you need to do that before you partake this morning. If you're away from God, if you've laid Him up on the shelf, make your life right with Him today. Just say, Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Savior. Be my Lord today. Forgive me of every sin. Be real in my life again, I pray, Lord. When you receive the cup and the bread, hold it. Let's wait until the end. We'll partake together. When you receive it, just close your eyes. Let God speak to your heart. Let Him talk to you and tell you things that you've not heard of before. He'll speak to your heart. He'll tell you, these are some of the things I want you to move past. I want to bring something new into your life. Some of you, maybe it's going on that Los Angeles trip. Maybe it's going internationally somewhere. Maybe it's a new business. Maybe it is writing a book. Maybe it's serving in a ministry. Maybe it's going on Adopt the Block. Maybe it's coming on a Tuesday night to the open gym and saying to Ryan and some of the other folks that are leading it, how can I help? Instead of you saying, well, that's just not me, or, you know, I'm afraid. Just step out of that comfort. Step into that dimension that you need to trust in God. Maybe for some of you, it's in the area of giving. You hear somebody every week when we receive the offering talk about giving, and you spend more at lunch today than you'll give to God He's just saying to you, trust me. I got something brand new to give to you. For some of you, it's a relationship. For some of you have been, and I was praying last night, and I just felt this came across my heart. And I want to say this to somebody. You've been through a divorce, and you said, never again. And the Lord's saying, 2018, I have something new for you. I don't know who that's for, but your life is not over. Your life is not defined by what has happened to you. Some of the greatest days of your life are ahead of you, in front of you. Praise God. Just take the bread and the cup. Just hold it. Just, Lord, what do you have for me? What do you want from me? Where are you going to lead me, God? What new do you have for me? Hallelujah. The Lord Jesus, He took bread in the night in which He was betrayed. He looked up and down that table. He said, this is my body, broken for you. Take it, eat it, every one of you, and remember what I have done for you. Let's take the bread. Let's partake together right now. Thank you, Jesus. He took the cup. He said, this is the blood will be shed for all. As often as you drink this cup, you remember what I have done for you. I sense this morning some of you are languishing with some of the negative choices that have taken place in your life. Some of you are dealing with depression, loneliness, brokenness. He's come to help. He said, as often as you drink this, remember what I've done. Today, Lord, as we partake in the cup of the Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are our peace. We thank you that you have cleansed and forgiven us of every sin. We thank you that your blood has been shed for our well-being, our healing, and our restoration. Let's partake of the cup of the Lord together. Prayer, people, would you slip down to the front just before we close here. Hallelujah. Glorify your name, Lord God. Spirit of the living God, have your way in our lives. Change us. Continually recreate who you have called us to be. Thank you for your power. Thank you for restoring families and broken lives. Thank you, Lord, for in 2018, for some, you're going to take us out of our comfort zone so that we can receive the brand new that you have for us. I pray blessing and favor over every life here today. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. I love you so much.